guys. Greetings in the Lord. This is the emotional, okay? So I might, you know, express a lot of emotion in sharing this. But we felt compelled to witness about our son Joseph. He had a serious brain surgery on March the 9th. And we wanted to thank you for your prayers, especially the Brian Sunday School class, and for the phone calls and support. And there's various prayer groups praying for him and his pastor and church also. And I kind of remember the words of Bill Swick. He talked to me and he looked me in the eye and he says, "Mike, Joe's going to be okay. Your son's going to be okay." You know, and that he was praying for him and Mary Ann. And the past 2 weeks, it's been kind of draining. We were with our son, his wife, and the four grandkids. You know, just as a little background information, at 10 months old, Joe's had a seizure disorder with status epilepticus, where he was having one seizure after another, and it was getting weaker and weaker. And the doctor said that night that he would either die or be in a vegetative state. But God was merciful to us and to him, and he lived with few problems from that. He it developed into a different type of seizure where he would like stare off and on, and sometimes would lose a little bit of awareness. And we didn't think it was a big deal, you know. And now he's 39, and he went to a neurologist and had very thorough testing, and they said that the type of seizure he was having, that he was losing memory and cognitive abilities with each seizure, and they recommended brain surgery, a 7-hour brain surgery, and removing the right temporal lobe, hippocampus, and amygdala. But the risks were stroke, blood clots, paralysis, vision problems, and possible death. Very scary, to say the least. Before the surgery, Joe was calm and joking around, and the rest of us were nervous wrecks, very anxious in that. But he had incredible peace, and that was God that gave him that peace. And he told us that. On March 9th, he had the 7-hour surgery, and the doctor said he would be foggy for a couple months. He could have various side effects and 25% chance of having seizures the first 2 to 4 weeks, and then possibly after the surgery, too. But God is good, and he's the great healer, and he did extremely well.
When I was in the intensive care with the nurse, with Joe, after he came back from surgery, and I was asking the nurse how he was doing, he was doing really well, and she kept saying, "He's crushing it. He's just crushing this." And she was so excited about how well he was doing. So I texted Pastor John to tell him he was crushing it, and Pastor John sent back and said, "No, more like God was crushing it." So I said, "Yeah, amen to that." So.
And he was awake 12 hours after the operation, and he had gotten a new phone. And if you're like me, if you get something new, it's a heck of a thing to figure those darn things out. But he was texting his wife, kids, and siblings, and doing selfies, you know. He was interactive, clear thinking, and minimal pain. And he was released 48 hours after surgery, and he went out on the way home, and he walked on a curb to balance himself just to see that he could do it, and he did it well. And as we and family members and friends saw him at home, we were just amazed at what God had done, God, our great healer. And it's not that we're any special people. We're just average people like you guys, you know. But God was gracious, and we just praise him. And some of the relatives were just stunned. They would just look at Joe and then realize, like, holy cow, he's got this huge scar, and he had brain surgery, and he's talking and everything to them like normal. And at home, he took only one strong pain pill. He set up a Blu-ray machine for his TV. He was able to trick us at cards. He was discussing water pressure and pipe slopes with the plumber. He was troubleshooting machine problems with a coworker, and he witnessed on Zoom to our Berean Sunday school class. And then he went to youth group where he and his wife co-lead it, and he was interacting with the kids, kidding around with them. But we ask you to continue to pray for them as he recovers, for he and his family during this adjustment period. And again, thank you for your prayers. And prayer is powerful, and just thank God.
You guys are good Methodists. You went back to clapping instead of shouting.
Hosanna.
You're not even getting a clue. Hosanna!
Hosanna.
You know, we need to shout praise and excitement over things that happen. We need to shout hosannas. And you Methodists, we know we're not good at that. We're not good at that. I was sitting there, I shared earlier about one pastor shared stories, and it reminded me back to a church that I attended for. It was a class in seminary or college, and went to this class in this church, and the whole congregation was, you know, we Methodist pastors have to say amen if they want somebody to say amen back, but this church was, they were shouting amen, and there was a couple of people, they go, well, when things were going well, and I remember the one pastor, something good like what Mike and Juanita shared, he said, well, you know what they say, he who sits on a hot stove is going to rise again. And you know, we need to get excited about what God shares with us. And the one pastor said, you know, and I knew when I wasn't doing well, because instead of amen and well, they'd start saying, help him, Jesus. Help him, Jesus. But we can give praise for what happened in Joe's life. We can shout, Hosanna.
Hosanna.
You need to just shout it. You don't need me to ask you to do it. Just shout, Hosanna. Hosanna. And think about what you helped the Rebels accomplish. Hosanna for that. You know, we're hearing testimony about God's work and God using us and through our prayers and how good things are. And that's what Palm Sunday is about. It's a day when we remember Jesus working, and we shout, Hosannas! We need to be excited about what God's doing. That first Palm Sunday was a sign of people recognizing who Jesus was. And then if you look at the scripture that we read, part of what that scripture said is the people were gathering because, not just because of Jesus, but because of Lazarus. You know, the night before, Jesus is having dinner with Lazarus and his sister Martha and Mary and the disciples. And it says when the people heard Jesus was there, all that had seen Lazarus raised from the dead started gathering around, the crowds, to see them. And how many of you have ever read the book 90 Minutes in Heaven by Don Piper? A few of you have. Ann and I had the privilege a few years back that he came and spoke at our church, and we got to meet him. Don Piper, 90 Minutes in Heaven. You know, he was pronounced dead. And you know, how many? If he was here, would you come listen to him? Would you have questions for him? Think about Lazarus. You know, Don Piper only had an hour and a half, but Lazarus had 4 days. 4 days in the tomb, and he was raised from the dead. Can you imagine the questions you'd have for him that you have for Don Piper? You know, like, what was it like when you died? What was the first thing you saw when you got to heaven? Who did you meet? You know, can you describe the place? All the questions you have, you know, there are people gathering wanting to ask those same questions of Lazarus. And then they're seeing Jesus. He's the one. And the people that were there when he came out of the tomb, they couldn't stop talking about it. They had to tell people about it. And it says they kept spreading the word. And so when they heard Jesus was coming into Jerusalem and Lazarus along with them, they gathered to see him, and they brought palm branches, which were a sign of respect and honor for nobility and others that would enter. And so they brought the palm branches, they cast their coats down, and they're meeting him, they're shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Hosanna means save us. As they're looking at Jesus and they're saying, save us! Save us. And the excitement of what they had. You know, we need to be excited about the things that God is doing in us. God is doing marvelous things. You've heard two different testimonies this morning of God doing marvelous things yet. Now, the question for you is, what has God done in your life that should stir excitement for other people? Just like God, through Jesus, did something marvelous, something miraculous in Lazarus' life. But what is God doing in your life that should at least stir some excitement in the people around you that know your story, that they might shout, Hosanna? What is it? You have a story. As your story being shared, they were telling the story of Lazarus through all of Jerusalem when there were multitudes coming in for the festival. The other question is, how are you responding to Jesus? Are you sitting quietly? Are you responding to what Jesus is doing, or is your head rolling back, your hand going up, going, well, amen? Are you someone that sat on a hot stove, is going to rise again, is going to get excited and shout, Hosanna, because of what Jesus is doing in my life? How do you respond to him? How do you respond, and how do people respond to your story? You know, not everyone was excited about Jesus coming to town. It says the Pharisees were disgusted. Other passages of Scripture say that they tell Jesus to, you know, tell them to be quiet. Tell them to not be saying this. And Jesus' response to them basically is, you must be dumber than a rock. That's how I read that, because he said, you know, if they shut up, the rocks and stones themselves are going to shout. So you must be dumber than a rock to think that we could quiet this crowd. You know, I had this, as this choir was singing, it struck me. In the Old Testament, there's a story about Balaam riding his donkey, and the donkey starts to talk and gets in an argument with them because the donkey can see. And think about that, being so angry that you argue verbally with your donkey. Can you imagine what it would be like if you started arguing with a rock? The rocks themselves would be shouting, Hosanna! You need to make sure that whatever is happening in your life is being shared. That story is out there for others to hear about it so that they might have their hearts stirred as well. Our response can't be quiet. It's got to be loud. Let us pray together. Father, may your Spirit fall upon us. Lord, may our hearts be shouting, Hosanna! As we look and as we place our eyes and our hearts on you, Lord, change us, O God, to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. I would invite the ushers, if you would come and receive this morning's offering. Heavenly Father, Lord, you do mighty works. You've done mighty works through Jesus. We've heard of testimony today of how great you are. Lord, may your Spirit stir us to shout Hosanna. And then may our tithes, our offerings, be signs of our great appreciation and love for you. In Jesus' name.